shall I start? I'm surprised of the amount of people that are in my talk, because it's already 5:30 and I thought that people would be going home, but welcome to my presentation about, well, writing professional documentation. And I work as a freelance consultant for various companies. I currently work for HP Belgium, where I do consultancy for other companies. And something that I've seen at various places is that there is a need for writing documentation, but they have certain specific requirements. And this presentation is about something that I think I needed 10 years ago already. And last year I started to write it. I had this idea of writing this, and it works for me very well for writing documentation. So the objective for me to write this tool or this backend was actually because I needed to create mostly Microsoft Word documents, but also PDF documentation for customers. More and more now, ODF is something that is discussable, or something that you can ask for to do. But usually, those big companies, they have a Microsoft solution for storing documentation and for searching documentation, and that solution, well, expects Word documents or PDF files, but mostly Word documents. And sometimes these companies, they have the requirement that the documentation that you write looks like their documents that they produce as well in Microsoft Office. So it's important for them that those documents look like official documents and follow the certain formatting. That's often called the corporate identity. So that was important for me as well. It's something that comes back every time. Another requirement that I have for such a solution is that I need to be able to collaborate on this documentation. Documentation is not good if you write it once and it dies, it gets bit rot. So for me, it was very important that we could collaborate, and collaboration within Microsoft Office is not an option. Often you see that people, they enable change tracking, I think it's called, but still, you send out documents, you get them back, or in SharePoint, you also have problems with writing documentation at the same time. It's impossible. While that's not what I'm used to in open source. So for me, it was important that we could collaborate in a different way, and using a versioning system is one of them. Now, other requirements that were not that important was producing docbook or HTML output. Not so much for my customers, but for the open source things that I do, I prefer to also be able to put it online or things like that. Something that is important was the formatting, and for that it would be useful if my customers could modify the styling themselves. And in this case, the solution allows that through a graphical interface, so it makes it easier to format your documents and then keep that formatting around for future conversions. Existing solutions use XSLT or XSLFO, and that's not something that customers can do. XSLT, I often compare it with the worst of XML with programming. I mean, it's programming in XML, which is completely, it's not for me anyway. Something that's important for me as well in open source projects is that I can automate it, that the complete conversion happens automatically through makefiles, for instance. And the most important thing is if you can make documentation more enjoyable by not having to focus on the formatting or on the tools you have to use. And that's for me important as well. And so if you look at what's possible for writing documentation in a more enjoyable way, with all the requirements that I mentioned, you you come out at clear text, using clear text. Because with clear text, you can do so much more things. You can use your favorite text editor. You can use the syntax highlighting if you want to. You can put it in a versioning system. You can diff files. So for documentation, this is the best thing you can do. Lightweight markup languages, which there are various options, also focus on content, so not on formatting, which is nice, and it makes it easy. Because the lightweight markup languages, which is, can give you some examples, you have Markdown, Restructured Text, or ASCII-Doc. A lightweight markup language is like what you use on a wiki. On a wiki, you don't have to think about how it looks, you just have to write the documentation and give it some structure. And that's what all these lightweight markup languages do. Compared to normal markup languages like HTML and XML, where you need to know the complete language, you need to know what's possible, how it is, how it can be nested and stuff like that, you don't need to know that, or you don't need to know so many things with a lightweight markup language. And what was also important is that it can be used for typically for documentation, and I will come back to that later as well. So I decided to go with ASCII-Doc. ASCII-Doc is a known lightweight markup language. It exists now for, I think, more than 10 years already. It's used by a lot of big projects, and the biggest project that is using ASCII-Doc for their documentation is the kernel. So all the new kernel documentation is written in ASCII-Doc. And it has some nice features. It's plain text, of course. It has an intuitive markup language. If you compare this to some of the wiki languages, where you have to use, for instance, an asterisk for having it emphasized, and a double asterisk for having it bold, and a triple asterisk for something else. I don't like that, because if you read the text, it doesn't make it obvious what is meant unless you convert it. And if you're writing documentation, it's also important that you can read what you have written, or that other people understand what you're doing. And ASCII-Doc has a nice syntax where emphasize is just quoted or using two underscores around the text. Bold is actually an asterisk, which is what you do in normal emails and text emails. You put an asterisk around it. There are some other things. It's very easy to read as well. The most important reason for me to switch to ASCII-Doc was, in fact, that it maps one-to-one to DocBook. In fact, simplified DocBook. Which means that it has all the functionality that DocBook has, and DocBook is actually written or created to make books. You may not know DocBook, but all the O'Reilly books, and in fact most of the technical documentation, the technical books that you buy, are written with DocBook as source. And the fact that it maps with DocBook makes it possible to just convert your ASCII-Doc to DocBook, and then use the tools that are available for going from DocBook to something else. Another reason for using ASCII-Doc is that it's very flexible to extend. So you can create different backends for producing different output, but you can also modify it if you have custom needs, which is not always possible with existing markup languages, which are fixed in what they can do. And what I did was I wrote an ODF backend for ASCII-Doc. I'll come back to that later. But why did I choose ODF? It's because, well, ODF is the open source document standard. It's an open format. It's known what you have to produce. But it's also easy to convert from ODF to other outputs. If you use LibreOffice, there are some other tools now that are coming that implement ODF, but LibreOffice is the best one because it has the most plugins, export plugins or export filters to go to other formats. And in fact, the LibreOffice PDF output is really, really good. If you generate PDF files from LibreOffice and you create all the information in LibreOffice like metadata and specific things, visualization in LibreOffice, the PDF output looks exactly the same. So it's very nice to have that as an option as well. But the most important thing is that I can then do the visualization in LibreOffice. In LibreOffice, you have a GUI for changing title, for the visualization of titles, or the styling of titles, the styling of all the different different stuff that you use in your documentation. So you can do that through LibreOffice. And in fact, what we created allows you to modify an ODF file, change the styles as you want it to look in the end, and then use that ODF file. You can write it out as an OTT file, which is in fact a template file, but you can still use an ODF file as well as the input for your styling. So the next conversions you do through ASCII.doc ODF, the new documents you create or the modified documents you create, you can simply provide the ODF file you visualized, you changed, you can provide that as the styling for your future documentation, which is interesting because that allows you to not have to program or anything to do the visualization. So how it usually works is you collaborate on the documentation itself. You then use ASCII.doc with the ODF backend to convert it to an ODF file. And in fact, natively, you can create a flat ODF file. And a flat ODF file is part of the standard. It's actually just an XML file, a clear text XML file. And everything that's inside of your normal document, like images and graphs and I don't know what, they are embedded and they are being base64 encoded. So it produces a bigger file in the end, but it's a flat clear text file. But ASCII.doc also has the possibility through an additional tool to create normal ODF files if you prefer that. But flat ODF files also work in LibreOffice, so there is, from a use perspective, there is no difference between a flat ODF file and an ODF file in LibreOffice. The styling you then do through LibreOffice itself, and then in the future you can use LibreOffice, you can reapply those styles you created in LibreOffice in future documents, in the ODF output you produce, or in the PDF or Word documents that you later convert to. Coming back to the ODF backend that we wrote, it contains a lot of functionality that comes with ASCII.doc, like admonitions, which is something that comes from DocBook, because ASCII.doc is actually an implementation or a one-to-one mapping with simplified DocBook. So admonitions is actually what you see in a book, like a tip, and then you have a call out with the information of the tip, of a warning or something important or a note. In all of these books, you see that sometimes your text is interrupted with something that is important. And admonitions is something that ASCII.doc supports as well, and I will show you an example later. You have normal blocks, captions. Captions are titles for images or for pieces of code or something like that. You can add comments, which is interesting if you have to collaborate on documentation, that you can say this and this is still missing, or this and this will have to improve later. Footnotes, table of contents, themes, all of this is possible with the ASCII.doc by default, but also with the ODF backend. Then there are some things that ASCII.doc provides you through filters. And I will also show you some of these. You can actually write ASCII art, and there are some filters that change that ASCII art in a drawing, in a real image. You can create charts with some of these filters, or MUTML, PlantUML, which is also a way to describe how an image should look instead of having an image there. You can, of course, use images in your documentation, but sometimes it's better to describe what in the image relates to what, so that you can modify it and you can actually collaborate on that as well. If you want to modify the image, you just change the description. There are some filters for syntax highlighting as well. If you put certain pieces of code inside of your documentation, that actually the pieces of code in your document that you print is colored as well. And then there is specific ODF functionality that we implemented, which is not something that DocBook would implement. So if you would convert from ASCII.doc to DocBook, it will not work exactly the same way as you would use it if, or how it would look like if you convert it to ODF. And those things are annotations. You know that in Microsoft Word you can say, you can also add annotations to collaborate. Well, in our backend you can also add certain comments, and those comments will also be in your output you produce. And that's sometimes useful if you want to give that document and you want to print that document to your colleagues, and they can then read and see the annotations there as well. You can have columns, which is something that DocBook and ASCII.doc do not support. Cover images, which is something that DocBook does not support either. Headers and footers is something that DocBook does not support from the original sources. And meta information is automatically also put in the ODF. So if you add author information or keywords or stuff like that, it will automatically be in the ODF output, and it will automatically, if you use LibreOffice PDF export filter, it will automatically be in the PDF, which is nice, because if you put the PDF online, the keywords, the author information, the description of the document will all be in that PDF file as well. That's sometimes forgotten in PDF files, but Google uses that as well. So if I give you a demonstration, let me first show you this. Actually, these two images are created using ASCII Art. So I will show you the document where I created those. These are just boxes you design, and then you put some information in. And the upper image is what you currently can do. The lower box is what we would like in the future to offer you, because it's not completely finished. We use it already for a lot of things, but it cannot do all the things that we would like to have. So the lower image is what we would like to see, which is, in fact, removing the conversion through LibreOffice by using a second tool, but doing it directly through the wrapper tool. The A2X is the additional tool you have in ASCII.doc for converting directly from ASCII.doc to formats that ASCII.doc cannot produce natively. And then you only need to use A2X and nothing else anymore. And A2X will talk to LibreOffice to do the conversion. But currently how I develop this, or how I use it, is you have your plain ASCII.doc text file. You run ASCII.doc with that file to create a flat ODF file. You can modify the flat ODF file in LibreOffice and create that ODF template that I discussed before, and then use that ODF template in future conversions, and use Unoconf, which is a tool I wrote as well, that talks to LibreOffice to do, through the command line, to do the conversion to a real ODF file, to a PDF file, a doc file, and even a PowerPoint slide. We have also ODP files implemented, but it's not feature complete, not at all. So it's a basic implementation. PowerPoint presentations are different than normal text, so this will need some discussion with the ASCII.doc people on how to implement this. So the demonstration now, finally. I prepared this. You don't see anything yet. If I move this, but this is not a separate workspace, I think, is it? No. So I'll probably have to change my. Now you see what I see. Perfect. And what I wanted to show you is here. So let me first show you an example file. I have an example test file that shows you the functionality of ODT, of the ODF backend. And this is a simple document. You can make it much more complex than this, but this is very simple. You start with a title, and this is a wiki kind of language. You start with the title, then you give some metadata. You can even add some macros and do some more complex things, which I will show you later. This is, well, it's unfortunate it's not 8 characters wide, so let me change that quickly. And change profile now. Let's make this 70. Nope. 16. Yeah, that's better. Is it still readable for everybody? Is it big enough? Yeah, it's a big screen. So this is you start with the title, some meta information, and then you have a description of a document. It's optional, you don't have to do that, but I think it's nice that you can give a little bit of information what this document is about. And then you start the normal paragraphs. Well, actually, these are chapters in a book. You start each of the chapters with an indented equal sign. And this is just one paragraph. If you leave an empty line, the next paragraph starts. Here you have an example where you see strong with the asterisks. You have emphasized, in this case, I used underscores, but you can also do this. This for emphasize, you have two ways of doing it. Oh, F1. You have two ways of doing this, so let's undo this. If you want to add monospaced text, like a command, which is what I do for this, or some option, I use monospaced. Emphasized, I use for file names or something like that. But it's a convention you can do yourself. You can do quoted text, double quoted text, subscript, superscript, all of those things you can do. You can also do links to other paragraphs. So in this case, we have a reference to something in another on another page. Then you have numbered lists, you have bulleted lists, you have labeled lists, something a docbook does. You have horizontal lists, but this is something that where the implementation is a little bit weak, so you might see something that is not correct if I show you the output later. Listing blocks, there is an example of a fake config file, a little bit of source code, and by adding source, comma, Python, source means use a source filter for this block, and Python is the argument you give to the source block so that it knows that it's Python. If you use, it can auto-detect this, but in this case it might not, because this is not a complete Python file, so it does not have a shebang, and it may not have the things that it expects, but it might have worked, I don't know exactly. A literal block, which is just the block as it is with new lines included, because by default, new lines are removed from paragraphs. Normal text, if you have multiple lines, there is no new line kept in the output. You can add some inline literals, for instance, for commands that you want to have in your document, or you can add the output or commands with a block, if you like to. Things that are implemented in DocBook, which I never used, is the quote or a verse kind of block. But the things that are important, a comment block, for instance, pass-through blocks, which in this case is not so useful, but if you want to generate ODF output, some way that needs to be kept in line in the ODF, you can do that. I don't see a purpose of that in this case either. And these are the admonitions that I talked to before. So you can have warning and then the block. If the block spans multiple paragraphs, you have a delimiter before and after, like I show you here in the tip. In the tip, there is some markings to say this is the beginning and the end of the block. And in this case, the tip also has multiple, it has also a list with a list name, a caption, actually. There are some references here. I think this shows you a little bit the syntax. Tables, maybe. Here, that's a table. This is a way to do columns. If you have a very long list, you can say how many columns it should be using, and then the list will go over four columns in this case. And I will show you the output later on. Yeah, there are some things that are less important. And then we have the filters that I talked to you about as well. For instance, a GraphFizz. GraphFizz is a tool to create graphs based on information. So you have here some information that will create a graph. And a second one based on GraphFizz. You have AAFigure. It's another plugin that allows you to create something like this. This is multi-line, so you don't see how it would look on my screen, but in this case, a figure with something that fits on my screen. This also generates a normal image and like you would expect. There are some others. Dita is another filter that you can use for creating something like this, and here this is actually what I showed you before. So, well, not this one, but one of these. So, yeah, it's too wide for my screen in this case. But this one, or this one is the one that I showed at the end, which is the ideal situation. Ah, it's a little bit dark on you. Yeah, sorry for that. Plant UML is also a way of creating images. I will show you the output now. If I convert this through, so I say use the ODT backend, and I can even say use icons, and for the icons, use user share, AsciiDoc images. In fact, this information, the fact that this document should produce icons and the location of the icons, is something that you can put inside of the document. So you don't have to provide it on the command line if you like that. This will create a flat ODF file. So, because all these filters need to create images, it takes a little bit longer than a simple text. But if you look, this is the document I just produced. And if I would open it with a more recent LibreOffice, the latest one, then this is what you get. And this is with table of contents enabled, because that's also an option that I had in my metadata. It creates a table of contents with the description attached to it, which is a problem with this style. This is my demo style, so it's not the best one. The formatting is in there as well. The lists, you have the different kind of lists. The code listing with coloring, the commands, a sidebar block, some other things, the admonitions, one with the list in it, references, the comments. In this case, I also enabled comments, because you can disable it if you produce the output. So in this case, it's enabled, which is highlighted in yellow in this style. And as you can see, there are also the annotations on the right. These are created because those examples were in there as well. A simple table. The formatting of a table doesn't look very nice in this layout. Then the columns, four columns. There were also footnotes that I forgot to mention, which are at the bottom of each page, if there are on the page footnotes. There were some variables that are actually metadata in the document, but these are not so important. I also included two images, which are here, with a caption. So that's that. And then the different images, which are not included only by text, but also with a caption. So here you can see what is produced by those filters, which allows you to collaborate on things that you put in a versioning system. And this was with the AA figure, the various files. These are the images that I showed you before. Well, the same as this with Dita. All from clear text. This is the plant UML, which shows you something like this, relationships. And there was also a QR and code plugin, which allows you to put a URL inside of something like this. And that's it. This was my demo. In this case, the style sheet also includes footers and headers. In this case, you can see here at the bottom the page number, the chapter that it is in, and the title of the book, for instance. Now, I mentioned to you that this style is not as advanced as the other style that I want to show you. Let me show you. I'm involved with another project which is called RIR, and we create some AsciiDoc documentation there as well. And this is more like real documentation. So it looks a little bit the same, title, some meta information, a table of contents with the level. Doc levels is two, means the table of contents should be two levels deep. Now, this document, if I convert this the same way, and I think I prepared the actual commands somewhere. So, the same way it looks as ugly as the previous document, let me show you, because I don't have much time left, let me show you with the HP team. And the HP team is more advanced, because that's actually where I do things with. So with the HP team, it looks like this. Suspense, It looks like this, and this looks like one of the HP documents you would expect. In this case, in the style, there's also the HP confidential, which is just part of the style. So you could create an HP confidential style and a normal HP style. And then you have the title. This is, in fact, the cover page, which I mentioned. And below, if you have in the metadata a version or a timestamp, a date, then it would also be at the bottom of that page. But then you have the table of contents, which also looks like one of the documents that I found in HP that I mimicked, which is the table of contents. And then on each page, you will see, well, first you have the introduction chapter, then you have the relax and recover chapter with some information, and a note, in this case without icons. The usual documentation from HP do not include icons, so it looks like this in this style. And at the bottom of the page, you see the number of the page with then the chapter you're in. So features and functionality, features and functionality. So this is more what you would expect from how professional documentation looks like. That's it. I think there's some examples of code. In this case, it's just shell with some colors in it. Yeah, that's a little bit what I wanted to show you. So back to the presentation quickly, and then we'll have some time for answers and questions. I didn't mention, oh, no, of course. This is my daughter. Let me see if it comes back. Yeah. I did mention Unoconf. I didn't mention the other tools, but they might be useful if you already produce some information in other markup languages, because with Pandoc you can convert other markup languages, or lightweight markup languages, to ASCII doc. So if you have wiki information you want to produce ASCII doc content to collaborate on, you can use that. If you already created docbook information, you can in fact use one of the two tools, but the second tool is probably the most advanced because it's written by O'Reilly. In fact, O'Reilly, I told you, most of the books are written with docbook. There are also books written from O'Reilly written with ASCII doc. I think there are now five, but more and more people are using ASCII doc natively to write O'Reilly books. And that's why O'Reilly wrote this tool, Docbook to ASCII doc, to convert older books to ASCII doc so that they can be reviewed and be updated in ASCII doc and no longer in docbook. So that's a nice, that's nice to see that from O'Reilly. And there is, I once wrote WASCII, which is a web frontend where you can convert documents using different style sheets coming from Subversion. So you collaborate in Subversion, and this frontend will just show you the index of all the documents, and you can say, I want a PDF with this style sheet. It's really, really simple PHP, so it's not very fancy. But it worked well, and it's still in use in one company where I wrote it for. That's it. I had to speed because it was only in half an hour presentation, and this was definitely more. So if you want to see what was produced, if you want to collaborate, or if you have issues, you can use GitHub. I really like GitHub for collaboration as well. So you can go there to see what things can be improved or you want to see improved. The discussions about ASCII doc ODF, we actually do that on the ASCII doc mailing list. I don't see a point in having a separate mailing list, especially because some of those issues are actually things that we need to modify in ASCII doc as well. And I mentioned already these tools, so thank you for listening. Do you have any questions? And I think so.
I don't have any questions.
You don't have any questions?
If somebody else has a question, I will bring him the microphone.
Okay, perfect. No questions? Yeah.
Okay, so the document that you showed was just one file so far.
Yeah.
Is there a possibility to have a document with many chapters written by different people and include generated documentation?
Yeah, that's a good question. A friend of mine wrote a book in Linux, and he did it in docbook and had all these wrappers to reuse certain content in training material and stuff like that. And I told him about ASCII.DOC, and he's now rewriting, he's using DocBook to ASCII.DOC to create his book and also all of his material that he uses for training from one part. So you can indeed include other documents. And in fact, something that's very nice, which he uses now as well, is you can include and say that the document that you include should start from a different level, so that some chapter you can use from level one, for instance, as a separate article. But then if you include it in a book where it should be a chapter that starts in level two, you just say that it needs to start in level two, and it will just use that level, but then as a level two, so as a chapter instead of a complete article, where the title of the chapter is in fact the article title. So it's actually very useful for things like that. Yeah, and it doesn't have to be just chapters. It can also be subchapters or just sections or stuff like that. You can include whatever you like. Yeah, but that's functionality of ASCII.DOC, not from my ODF backend. But I it works.
Could you please convert the first flat ODF file by Unoconf to a PDF file so that I can see that?
Yes, of course.
Nice to see.
Of course.
How do you do it? And
of course. Let me first open this, and then I have to click on this. And through magic, something should happen. Now I don't see anything anymore. Ah, but you do, but that's not very good. So, okay, so I think, there we go. So, I have this flat ODF file here. If you would convert it, you would do this. And Unoconf will start a LibreOffice instance. It will then convert through that LibreOffice instance. Talk to LibreOffice, it will use UNO, that's where the name comes from. UNO is the communication with LibreOffice. In this case, I was actually using a different LibreOffice than the default that it will find. So Unoconf will look for the installations you have of LibreOffice, but it will prefer the one that is installed in user bin. So in my case, if I want to use a newer one, I will have to do this. I will have to say use this instance, and then it will do the conversion, but it is unable to start it because I probably have something open that is interfering with... I had the document still open, I guess. Let me close everything, including my presentation, and then do this again. And this produces the PDF file. So if I now open this, you will see this document as expected. So, okay. Unoconf works on macOS, Windows, and Linux. But there might be some issues, but let me know. Normally it works. And it should work with OpenOffice as well. So it's not specific LibreOffice that works. So. Any other questions?
Need Unoconf Xserver to run?
No. In the old days, it needed to, because there was a headless mode which didn't function. And then you had to start an XVFB frame buffer stuff for being able to run it without having an X. But since LibreOffice at least, but also since older OpenOffice versions, the headless mode works. So I start OpenOffice in a way that it works without having an X. But on a server, of course, LibreOffice is quite huge. It's quite demanding. LibreOffice is, in fact, the latest versions are much faster and much more stable. Older versions, and especially OpenOffice as well, they tend to, in certain cases, for certain documents, sometimes not reproducible, would fail. And then you have to maybe kill an instance or restart Unoconf. And then it might work or it might not work. All the reproducible cases we have fixed in LibreOffice. So it was a very interesting evolution with LibreOffice. So I always try also my users to report it upstream and then follow through, because you have to really give an example document, make sure that the next version the developers know about this and it's still active, so it takes some time for them to fix it, but they do it, so it's really a good evolution. No other questions? People want to go to the Linux Nacht. Yeah. The social event, I guess. No? I had one question prepared. Why not use LaTeX? But if LaTeX works for you, then use it. It's not that we want to replace something that works for people, but I need to reproduce documents. And in fact, the thing that I started writing it for was my own CV. So that's what I started it with. And this is a more complex document in the sense that my Linux experience, actually, it increases every year. And so what I often had was that my CV would include a smaller number than it actually was. And so if you do this in ASCII-Doc, then it will take the date and it will give the number of years that I am experienced. So this also includes a description and keywords, so that if I put the PDF online, Google will favor it. So it also includes, for instance, the team name, team CV, and the language encoding, which is also taken into account. Data Yuri here means that if there are images inside it, which in this case are not, they would be included as base64, so that my flat ODF would encapsulate it. And this document, I start with a call-out box, which says which is my experience and my interests, because I'm a freelancer, and when they call me, they often call me for things that are outside of that scope. So I start with a big yellow box, which says this is what I'm interested in. But this is just a CV, so if I show you how it looks. This is also using another template, so maybe that's also nice to... ASCII-Doc uses -B. If I show you my CV, then it looks like this. Actually, what's probably not good in my CV is that I try to put as many information as possible on my pages to keep them small. And so this is a different style template with where I use, for instance, two columns to get it on one page. And yeah, it's not a fancy document, in fact, but that's why I wrote it, where I started writing it in the end. Okay, you already applauded, so thank you.